Your faithful that the great feast of Christmas is not just the celebration of our Lord's birth into flesh, that is, when the divine word was incarnated as a man. It is also for us a great feast when light shines in the midst of darkness. Just like in winter solstice, the light seems to be now gradually winning over the power of darkness. The great feast of Christmas brings us a new found hope that eventually, when all the things have been arranged according to will of God, good always conquers over evil, light always conquers over darkness. In the beautiful midnight mass, we started the holy mass when the church was dark. Only a tiny beacon of light showed the spot where the Savior of the world would be born, where he would be laid in the manger until it was time for the angels starting to sing the Gloria, and the whole church was lit so everybody could see that now is the hour, now is the holy hour when our Lord was born, the one who would gradually increase and eventually would triumph over all darkness and over all sin. The light which conquers darkness is the central theme in the spirit and message of Christmas. And this darkness, which Saint John uses in the opening of his gospel, is not merely a physical darkness, but most of all, the darkness is used in the sense of moral darkness. Saint John associates that with the evil in the world, namely error and sin. And all throughout the fourth gospel, light is always matched by a growing darkness. Mankind was in desperate need of a savior, because without savior, without the grace of God, it would be drowned in the errors, in the sins, and in the general cold-heartedness of men. But what we should notice in the message of Christmas, that this Christ's triumph over error and darkness is only gradual. It's not like in our midnight mass, when suddenly the whole church was lit and the darkness was banished and light prevailed. While we are still in this earth, we are meant to suffer darkness together with the light. This sounds a little bit like a paradox, because the light of Christ does not yet banish the darkness, nor does the darkness overpower the light. But instead, these two, namely light and darkness, they must, while this world remains, coexist in the world side by side. Usually, when morning dawns, light gradually banishes the darkness, just like in our church during the Holy Night. But in this world, we must still suffer darkness. And it's striking really to notice that the darkness is unable to conquer, namely cover over or smother the light. These two will coexist, and it will, this light also will divide the people into two camps. Those who are with the light, namely in the state of God's sanctifying grace, and those who, because their own malice, choose to stay in the darkness, namely those who, in the words of the Gospel of Saint John, did not receive him. St. John the Baptist, who was the great precursor of Christ. We heard much about him during Advent, but now it's his turn to step aside. This great prophet, the last of the prophets, was, as Saint John the Apostle writes, he was a witness concerning the light. But now it's his turn to decrease, and Christ, the light's turn to increase. And this should be a guiding principle for us as well. Throughout our whole lives, we absolutely need to humble ourselves. We must always think first the will of God, and not to serve the world, which, because of its sinfulness, is always doomed to walk in darkness. And as Saint John writes, many did indeed receive him, those who were baptized and those who wanted to be with the light. They knew that eventually light would conquer, but not just quite yet. We need to be patient, we need to be long-suffering, and we can never become angry to God or frustrated with him if we see that either we ourselves or the world has to still struggle under the pain of sin and darkness. Dear faithful, this our Lord's birth into flesh, the spirit and miracle of Christmas, is without the parallel of whole human history. That's why we start at the counting of years from the birth of Christ. This is the most miraculous, the greatest news story of whole humankind. It's not just the cataloging the special events what took place on that first year, but it's a cataloging of events of the most powerful showing of God's care and love for us. Like Saint John the Baptist, we are meant to be witnesses of light, though we must live in darkness, because as Saint John the Apostle writes, those who receive him, they will become the children of God. But being a child of God bears a heavy responsibility. We must step into light, leave the clutches of darkness, and that is sometimes very hard mission for us to do, because it takes lots of humility and it takes lots of self-denial. If we are truly the bearers of light and witnesses of God's truth, we must face persecution from those who remain sin, at least some form of or another. We must always be for the truth and the whole Catholic truth, pure and intact. We must keep the Catholic faith whole and never fall into errors and obey all the commandments of God. Only in this way we are truly children of God. And it's important to remember that it's not just the positive command of being a Catholic in this life. Being a witness of truth and of life also gives a negative precept of condemning error and darkness. It is very often that world does not oppose or persecute you, at least not too much, if you are for truth. The troubles and persecutions truly start if you are against error and against this darkness prevailing in the world. It was Saint John the Baptist who was such a great precursor, such a great witness for truth, and he had to truly suffer from children of the world so much that eventually, because he bravely and courageously defended the truth and was condemning the error, that he was put to death and suffered martyrdom, all for Christ and for his truth. Because fighting, because if we are not ready to not only to be for the truth, but also to fight against error, we truly are not worthy the bearers of that light, and we would not be called the children of God. Saint John the Baptist was ready gladly to go into death, all so that he could one day again see Christ in heaven as a source of never-ending light. Fortunately, we don't need to go through martyrdom, at least not yet in this stage of the world's history, but we can never shrink from our responsibility that if we are Catholics worthy of name, we must not only be for the light, that is, for his truth, but do everything which is in our power to fight against darkness, namely to condemn all error and sin. So are we truly worthy to be called to celebrate Christmas as the faithful disciples of God? Oftentimes, if we examine our conscience, at least if we do that sincerely, we have noticed that we have not been Catholics worthy of that name. But even if that should be the case, that we never have reason to sadness, we never have reason for despair. If we would fight this fight against sin and darkness through our own power, we would be doomed to lose it. But it's Christ's mercy, his light, his truth, which is always as our strength in our quest for heaven. And Christ has given us all necessary weapons to banish darkness in the end. If we are Catholics, we are sorry for our sins. We are ready to confess every single doctrine of the Church and condemn every single thing which the Church has condemned. And we are sorry for our sins and our negligences. We confess them, we receive absolution, and then are united to our heavenly light-bearer Christ in the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. We cannot be satisfied of seeing light and darkness coexist in this world. It's true that we have to suffer for it as long as this world exists, but we can never be satisfied of it or look beside when the powers of darkness try to conquer over all earth. In the end, it is our eternal destiny. We have only two options, either eternal light or eternal darkness. Dear faithful, the great patriarchs and prophets of the Old Testament, they had been so much comforted in their own dark ages by the thought that someday the Savior would come into the world. And now, when he truly has come on Christmas, all men of good will, they are rejoicing. Christ came for us. And as the scripture said, God has so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. If those who lived in the hope of his coming during the Old Testament, and they were so happy, how much more should we rejoice and be joyful and glad? We have the teachings of Christ and his Church, the light. We have Jesus himself on our altars. And Christmas is the time when we realize more than ever how much God truly loves us, despite all of our failings and despite all of our sins. Let us on this Christmas make a great resolution that we will in our lives be all for him, not just partly. Our Lord himself humbled himself, and we are also called to be humbled. But as our Lord also triumphed, and as the light will eventually totally banish the darkness and triumph over it, we also, if we are truly children of a God, we will there too one day triumph over our enemies and over the sins of the world. May God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.